So today we have professional farrier here, Murray Moran, also happens to be my husband and also happens to be recording from another area of the house. We thought it would be easier to do this than have him sit beside me here. So Murray, how long have you been a farrier for?
26 years.
Well, you hardly look old enough to be having been a farrier for 26 years. Do you get that often?
Maybe once before.
So is there a core, we didn't talk about this question, but I feel it's an important one. Is there a correlation between how good a farrier is and how long they've been a farrier?
Not at all.
Okay.
Well, maybe not at all, but a very small degree.
Because you can be crappy for a really long time.
For sure.
I think one of the things in the farrier industry is that you don't have to be good to keep your job, because there's not very many of you. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, very.
Yeah, and then that kind of leads into some trouble, because there's people who have no problem staying employed that aren't very good, and they're few and far between. So we have some good video of horses' hooves that we're going to share in upcoming weeks, but there's just a few questions that I wanted to talk to Murray about and get the farrier's perspective on. And one of them was, so from the farrier's perspective, what role does the horse owner play in hoof care? So what do you think? What role does the horse owner play in hoof care?
Well, first and foremost, I would say keeping a regular schedule. It's very important that a horse stays consistent in his trimming or shoeing in order for him to perform consistently. Second of all, they need to talk about any issues or problems they're having with their horse, even if they don't think it's related to the farrier. It's important that we know if the horse is feeling odd, traveling odd, and he's not doing his duties up to par, or just all the little details. And then, you know, we will have some insight into what could be going on, and maybe take a look at his feet in relation to what the problem is.
Okay, so just backing up a second, what would you say is a good schedule for trimming and shoeing for most horses?
Well, I'd like to use an average of 6 weeks. I find some horses need to be done in 5 weeks and some don't need to be done till 7. This is on a shoeing schedule. I usually go a little longer on trims. That's why I use 6 weeks, because it kind of covers both areas of horses. Depending on how many horses you have, if you only have one and he needs to be shot every 5 weeks, then he should be shot every 5 weeks. But if you have four to shoot, then 6 weeks is a pretty good average for all four.
I see. So that's going to depend on whether or not they have issues that are causing problems with their hooves, or how fast they grow, or a combination of it all type of thing.
Combination of it all, yes.
So one tip for you guys that I know from being a farrier's wife is that you should always book your next appointment before they leave. Right?
Definitely.
makes it way easier not only to stay on schedule, but to make sure you get in their book on schedule as well. Okay, so going back to talking to your farrier about some of the issues that are going on with your horse, what are some of the things that a farrier can see from the hoof view that could indicate problems in soundness or the way the horse is traveling?
Well, there's quite a few, actually. If it's a horse you know, then you may be able to notice changes from one trim to the next, but generally I would look at the heels, check to see if there's any crushing of the of the heel or anywhere in the foot, see if there's any one side wanting to grow longer than the other, flares happening. Those kind of go hand in hand. Checking to see like if there's any contraction in the heel area. Those would be my main concerns. Those would be a flag as to something's not right here.
Yeah. And then how about as far as the horse's behavior while you are doing your work? Sometimes they can indicate soundness issues there too, right?
Definitely. When you are working on a horse and they tend to want to really lean on one side, or they're always trying to take their foot away on one side, that'd be an indication that they're uncomfortable standing on the opposite side. Rather than getting real concerned about their behavior, you might want to look into why they're behaving that way. Why are they so uncomfortable on that off side? Because it'll be the one you're not working on. That's the uncomfortable one.
And this is, again, going back to the importance of having an open conversation between the farrier and the horse owner, right? So that the farrier knows that the horse owner is open to hearing this type of feedback too, right? So the horse owner could say, let me know if he's doing anything different or anything that makes you think that he might be uncomfortable with the work that you're doing. Because is it fair to say there's times where that might just be overlooked in a horse that's, say, not a performance horse? Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think another thing I should mention is, especially in the hind end, I find when you pick up a hind foot and there is stiffness or reluctant for that horse to give that foot, those are also indicators that something's not right. And that's, you know, it'd be nice if the farriers would all mention that to the horse owners, and they need to be able to take that well, in the sense that be open to that. Don't just say, shrug it off, or because that's important. It could be a hock, could be a stifle, could be a back issue. There's so many things linked just to that alone.
Yeah. It's kind of the chain of events. Like the saying is no hoof, no horse, but there's so many things higher up that can impact the hooves as well. So it
needs
to kind of be a conversation between body worker, horse owner, farrier, and vet to figure out why it's doing that, or even like why the hoof isn't balancing itself. Because I guess we'll get into more into that in the videos, but in theory, if it's trim balanced, it should stay balanced. Is that
right?
Accurate?
Absolutely.
So if anyone, you come back and it's not, we can maybe share the example of Squiggles last year of how you went to trimmer and was it the inside heel was like substantially longer than the outside, and having known that she was trim balanced to start with, that indicated that there was something happening there that was creating or causing her to load the outside. And as it turned out, it was because she had an abscess on the inside, so she was loading the outside, which caused it to grow on the inside, and then eventually she couldn't get away from it because that hoof grew and then she was unsound. But that had been happening over probably 4 weeks, right, before it actually, for it to make that much of a change in her actual hoof, would you say?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing. But an example, yeah, how quickly a hoof can change. And then also, that's good news of how quickly they can morph back into something good too. Like just because you have a hoof that's not great doesn't mean it can't also change once you get it balanced.
Yes, they.
So one of the things that I feel like it makes it tricky in the horse owner to farrier world is that there aren't very many farriers. So people aren't really at the liberty to just think this guy's doing a crap job, I'm going to fire him and get someone else, because there's not always someone else to go to. So as a horse owner, what can we do to have the conversation with our farrier in a professional way that we can get changes and improvements? So say I noticed that my horse's toes are long, and I know that that's not great, and I can see that the hoof access is not great, but he resets them and it keeps happening. So what do I do? How do I approach this in a way that's not going to get my farriers back up?
Well, the first thing you have to do is when you have a problem and you want to bring it to your farrier's attention, is don't immediately place blame on the farrier. Talk about what your problem is without placing blame on the farrier, because that will automatically get his defense up and your conversation is not going to be that great after that. So, you know, start properly. If there is a riding issue or movement issue of the horse that is affected by those, say, for example, long toes, even if that's even what the problem is, that might be what the problem is. And to you, from standing on the outside, it may just appear that way and be coming from somewhere else. But if there is a problem in how that horse is moving, if the horse is not striding out properly and it's affected by that, that's where you need to go to. Use the fact that you have a movement issue relating to the feet and address that.
That's a good point. So it could be like, I noticed that my horse is striding shorter, or I noticed that my horse is not landing heel first, which we'll do some videos of that for upcoming weeks too. But like things that you notice that they're not moving as they should, instead of pointing the finger directly at what you think is causing the problem. Because that's a good point. It might not be what you think it is, but you know what you want, and then you could work together to figure it out.
Yeah.
So what are some things that horse owners should not do? Like, what are bad clients to you?
Yeah. Well, first of all, instantly placing blame on the farrier, or saying, you know, he's only been bad since the last time you did his horse. Or, well, another thing that you don't want to find out later is that the owner has complained to everyone but you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's kind of annoying. In the fact that, what can you do about it other than get defensive because you've been slandered all over the place, but not directed to you where you could actually make a difference?
Yeah, you haven't given the chance to actually do anything about it.
Right, exactly. Other things, just not staying on schedule, and then, you know, having problems come up, and well, that's going to happen when you don't stay on schedule. There's going to be, unless your horse is perfect, there is going to be repercussions of going overdue, or, you know, just not being consistent in this hoof care.
What are some examples?
Examples?
Yeah.
Like if the horse, so he does go 2 weeks overdue. As the horse goes overdue, they start to overstress themselves. They keep getting used the same way. The leverage just increases. Okay. So it increases all the way up the limb. So the entire body is now being overstressed. So the foot is going to become weak at some point. The heels are going to either crush, contract. Now the horse is not wanting to move out. He gets made to move out. He may pull suspensory, pull a tendon, there's so many things that could happen by just not keeping your horse in check, and could lead to lamenesses down the road that did come from the hoof, but it was because of it. You cannot blame that on the farrier when you're not staying on schedule. That's not his fault.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things that we had talked about previously that I thought was a good perspective for people to keep in mind when they're having these conversations with their farrier is that you're your horse's health advocate. Like, you have to make these decisions and calls for them. It might mean you have to have an uncomfortable conversation. It might mean you have to try a different farrier. I think it's similar to if I go to the doctor, I will have done my own research on my situation or my condition before I go there. And I have say in my own health, just like you have say in your own horse's health, but I don't talk to my doctor like she's dumb that she hasn't figured this out. Like but yet you still have to keep probing. If you're not satisfied with the answers or the referrals that you're getting, it is your responsibility. I think sometimes we think, well, I just don't know enough. Well, that's kind of a cop out. Like, you need to educate yourself then if you think there's a problem, like, as opposed to talking bad about your farrier. Well, you have to do something about it. One more question I had for you was, how do you keep your farrier happy? If you have a really good farrier, what are some things that horse owners can do to keep their farrier happy? So they want to work for you.
Yeah. First is a given, make sure you pay them. Second one is try to keep a regular schedule, book ahead, so that it works well for you and for your farrier. Having a good work environment is also important. Like, if it's 32 degrees and the sun's beating down, have somewhere with shade or a fan or anything that helps as a horse owner. And then just doing your best to have your horses behave for your farrier. I mean, that's a big part of getting quality work. It's hard to give quality work when the horse won't stand, or the flies are eating you alive, or, the sweat's running out of your eyeballs. Like, you have to understand how that works.
Yeah.
The place with the nice barn, cool barn, and a horse that stands well, and flies aren't attacking you, is going to get the best quality work out of that farrier.
Just going to get the above average work instead of the Friday afternoon flies biting, sweat rolling on your face, can't get out of there fast enough work.
Yeah.
One thing you mentioned the other day was somebody who had put their horses in cross ties and then went and sat down and their horse was being really bad. Do you want to mention how that works for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's instances where I just find that when the horse is misbehaving, they are usually better off being held. For many reasons. First of all, they know their owner. It could be bad, it could not. Most of the time, they're more comfortable, so they're less likely to fidget around and whatnot. When I don't like to be given the obligation to do the disciplining, I sometimes we just feel we have no choice. If we don't discipline them, nothing's going to happen. But it's not productive to come from the farrier. It's most productive to come from the horse owner or the handler, or whoever that may be. That's what I don't like about that situation is, and if the horse is fine, it's no problem. But when you're having to struggle with a horse's behavior, it's best to have the full cooperation of the horse owner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just sitting back watching it all go down.
Right.
Yeah. Those are the ones you're going to wrap up real quick.
Pretty much, yeah.
That must be frustrating sometimes when the horse owner doesn't have the ability to handle that also. You have a pretty good set of clientele though, that it's not, that's not a regular thing. Like they're, everybody's pretty up to
speed. Not for me, it isn't, but I think for a lot of farriers, it is an issue, and it has been for me in the past. I've just worked my way into an easier way of doing things, but
yeah,
it's notable. That's for sure.
Okay, cool. Let's leave this one here for this week. And then we'll be back next week with some videos of some actual hooves where we're going to get into what you can check up and check in on your farrier and see how they're doing as far as keeping your horse's hooves balanced, and what you can look for at your end, some visuals of some things that indicate that there might be problems elsewhere in your horses. I think that's what I wanted to cover this time, just basically of how it's important to open a conversation with your farrier to talk about, like Murray said, how your horses felt since the last time, and then also making sure that your farrier knows, he or she should tell you if they notice anything or see anything in the hooves that are indicating that there might be some imbalance in how they're loading the hooves, indicators at their end that you should look into things from the other end of things. Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Murray.
You're welcome.